I'm Zach.
I'm Lucas.
And you are listening to Tales from the Bunk Bed. It's been a while since we got an episode to you guys. It's probably been almost a month at this point.
Yeah.
took a little holiday break. I know we said we were going to try and get some stuff out there, but it was just too hectic. So we're coming back with a quick episode before we get back into the regular swing of things next week. And we're just going to give you guys a quick top 10 entertainment of 2017, I guess what we'll call it. We just made a list of 10 things that we really, really liked. And we're just going to quickly run down the list and talk about them. Make this a quick episode, get in and out, and just give you guys something. And then at the very end, I will announce what the topic will be for the next episode, since it is my turn to pick. So, yeah, I don't think we need to do much more introduction. I think we can just kind of pop right into it. I'm going to let you kick it off and give us one of your first favorite things of 2017.
So, I'm going to say, with the first one I'm going to throw out there, Big Mouth, the Netflix series with Nick Kroll and John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through and watched this like 3 times since it came out, and I don't know. I've just been a really big fan of it. It's really entertaining. I have a good time with that. It looks like you had that on your list.
I did have it on my list, so I'm just going to throw it in at my number 10 spot as well, and we'll just leave it there since I didn't rank mine. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, not really.
Just wanted to talk about it. But yeah, no, Big Mouth. Netflix has done a lot of cool shit with adult animation. Obviously,
yeah.
They have BoJack Horseman and some other things. But Big Mouth, when that came out this year, I didn't really know what it was. I didn't know anything about it.
I think 2 days after it launched, I saw an interview, like a Stephen Colbert interview with John Mulaney, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, him and Nick Kroll have a show, and I knew they had done that Broadway, Hello, and I was like, I'm going to check this out, so I watched it, and I loved it, because I recognized so many of the voices in it, like, there's just so many different people involved, and it was just great. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's that great pubescent humor.
Well, and like, so BoJack gets talked up a lot, and rightfully so, for being this great comedic animation show that also does really good things with, like, dealing with mental illness. Like, it's one of the most real and authentic representations of it on TV. Where I think Big Mouth doesn't get praised enough, because I think I've watched this series at least 2 times, maybe 3 already. And it should be talked about just like BoJack and what it does for, like, showing both sides of, like, a budding sexuality and puberty. Like, it is it is a totally raunchy, ridiculous, outrageous show. Yes. And you have to be down for some crazy toilet humor. I mean, they are just, they're going as deep down into that shitter as you can. And if you're here for that, like I am, because I love that humor. It also has a lot of really cool and interesting and topical things to say about sexuality and human sexuality and puberty and everything. And it's just like, it gives it gives all sides of the spectrum. It's not just dealing with your traditional male and female narratives in this sense. And yeah, it's really well written and it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
is it Will Arnett as Maurice the hormone monster?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And then I always forget her name, female hormone monster.
I can't remember her name.
Jesus, right now either, she's been in a bunch.
Yeah, but no, Maurice is the highlight of the show for me. Maurice.
Oh yeah.
And then Jason Mantzoukas's character is also
with
great.
With his dad as the lawyer,
and he fucks a pillow. It's an outrageous show.
That was
show.
A good episode.
It was a great
episode. They're running away from his brothers, who are Pete from The League, and I forget who the other one is. But I remember one of them's Pete, and it just makes me laugh even more.
Yeah. So check out Big Mouth on Netflix if you haven't. It's something that definitely didn't get talked about enough this year. It's
I don't think so either.
Funny. Yeah. So...
Whoops.
I'm just going to throw that in at number 10 since it was on my list anyway. So give me another one for number 9.
Let's go with Ballers.
Oh, you did start watching Ballers this year.
So I went through and watched the entire series of Ballers, 1 through 3, seasons 1 through 3. And I kind of just clumped this, the whole series together because this is when I finally watched it. It was 2017. Thanks to All Fantasy Everything, they started talking about it. And I knew The Rock, like, I knew he was in, it's like a sports agent in the show, in an HBO show. And it would interest me, but I wasn't sure what the humor was like. And once they started talking about it, I was like, all right, I should give this thing a watch. And I watched it in, the whole series an entire week because we were going to and from North Carolina in the car. So I had plenty of time to watch it. So I just spent the, 13-hour car ride both ways watching Ballers and had a blast with it. It's so much fun. I just love the humor and the interactions between the athletes and The Rock because he's just trying to keep everybody in line. And, like, they're all making all these fucked up mistakes. Like, the one guy signs with the marijuana company and gets suspended from the league because he was promoting weed and stuff on his Instagram account. And it's just funny because he's trying to be crowd control. And he's like, listen, I've already made all these mistakes. And, yeah, it's just a great show. It's a lot of fun. The athletes do some wild stuff that just makes you laugh.
I got to get on Ballers. I've heard it's basically Entourage in the sports world, and I'm that guy who enjoys some Entourage. So definitely got to get around to that. Love The Rock. Love Rob Corddry.
Rob Corddry's great.
Yeah, our guys on All Fantasy Everything are always talking about it. So I got to get on this show soon because, yeah, it seems like it's an easy one to binge and catch up on.
It's not that long, I think.
It's probably coming back. It comes back probably in, like, spring.
I think it was... Oh, yeah, you might be right. Spring, summer, sometime in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. A lot of fun. So
cool. Let's
throw one out there for you.
All right, so my number 9. All right, let's get this one out of the way now, because I don't remember if you actually watched this or not. It's a Netflix original series, American Vandal.
Yep.
Okay, you did watch American Vandal.
That was on my list, too.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if I was going to pick that or Ballers right now.
Yeah. So, who drew the dicks? Is basically all there is to say about this. I mean, if you haven't heard of American Vandal, it's this great Netflix satirical comedy series that's a send-off of, like, all of your Making a Murderer and true crime docuseries. And it's taking that format and overlaying it over this fictional mystery of who spray-painted a bunch of dicks on the teacher's car in the faculty parking lot in a high school in California. And holy shit, man. Some of the best comedy I've seen in a while. Yeah. It's like the funniest thing to come out all year. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, you get wrapped up in who drew the dicks and yada yada. And even though, like, you get wrapped up in that, it doesn't matter because they leave it open-ended because we're getting another season, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But it's just about, like, staying with these characters. Dylan, the one they're following for most of the show, who's been accused of drawing the dicks, is so funny. Like, one of his introductions in the show is... He's talking about how he's like, I mean, yeah, it's fucking funny all that they drew all the dicks. Like, respect for that, but also, like, fuck you for letting me take the fall right now. Like, I don't know. There's just this tone and this mentality to the show that is something that you don't see in comedy enough, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
Seriously, honestly, can't say much. Don't want to go too deep on it. Don't need to spoil much. Just watch American Vandal if you haven't on Netflix net. You're going to laugh your ass off.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yes. Another one where you definitely got to be down for some toilet humor. But, I mean, who, like they say in the show a million times, dicks are funny. Yeah. Like, the shit is funny, man. Laugh at it. Enjoy it. It's
so
great. It's so
fun. Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, really can't say enough good things about American Vandal. What do you got for, what would this be, 8?
You know what? I'm going to throw out something that came out at the beginning of last year, the very beginning, and that would be Split. I really liked that movie. That movie was, I mean, it was something I wasn't expecting, and I had a lot of fun with it when I had gone and seen it. I don't know. Obviously, there was another horror movie that came out around that time, I guess you could say.
Well, see, all right, so Split definitely made my top 10 horror. I really, really like Split. You haven't even seen the Shyamalan movie that it connects to, have you? That's what's even more surprising about that, because you don't even have that, like, oh shit moment at the end that made so many people, like, go head over heels for this movie, me included. No, it's great.
I had a lot of fun with
James
it, yeah.
McAvoy is unreal in the movie.
Yeah, McAvoy's crazy.
I mean, he's nuts. He's so good.
Yeah, that was impressive.
M. Night Shyamalan, it's like the best he is right now. I like this and The Visit are my two favorite of his movies, and there's two most recent. So like, I love that he's found his footing in the like B horror thriller genre, and he's just gonna happily sit there now, which is great.
Yes, but it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one so much. I don't know. I felt like I should throw it on there.
No, nice pick. And like Anya Taylor-Joy is the lead. She's fantastic. She was also in The Witch. I really like her. Cannot wait to see what else she does going forward. Very good. I'm going to say right now, I don't know how many movies I'll have on this. We just ran down our top 20 movies on Breakdown last night. Okay. It's another fucking 3-hour episode. So if you guys want to know my movies, you can check that out. I'll talk about one or two here just because we gotta.
You did top 20?
Yeah.
That's so many.
It took too long. We're not doing that again. It'll be top 10 next year.
Jeez.
Split is definitely great, and it came out all the way back in January, and it seems like a lot of people are forgetting it's a 2017 movie.
Yeah, last night I was going through my ticket stubs, and I was like, oh yeah, Split. I was like, I really like that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we'll move on to something else. My number 8, because that was your number 8, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up something, and I know you don't watch the show, and I hope you get into it soon, but I got to bring it up because it's all coming to an end next year, and it was season 7 of Game of Thrones. So it started back in July, beginning of June is when I got my roommates to finally start watching the show. So from, it was like, it was right in the middle of July, because it was like 2 weeks into the season. And I got them to watch it. And so from the beginning of season 7 to the finale, my life was basically that show. Because, I'd watch the new episode every week and go ape shit. It was a great season, too. Yeah. I mean, so much good stuff happens. But then, like, I'd watch an episode, and then all week, it'd be Johnny and Becca catching up and watching the old stuff. So I'd be watching the old seasons. And they caught up the week before the finale. So they got to watch the last two episodes in real time with me. They watched all 6 seasons in, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
That's impressive.
Even. Yeah, they went hard.
How many episodes?
10 episodes, hour long though. Okay. But they're an hour, full hour.
And that's 6.
And you got to pay attention. It's like, it's real heavy stuff.
60
hours. Episodes.
60 hours.
Yeah. So
a lot of time.
Oh yeah. And so season 7, I mean, a lot of, most fans know, it's kind of like, they're kind of breaking up the last season without calling it breaking up the last season. Yeah. 7 and 8 are both going to be shortened, but they also are longer episodes. Like the finale was like almost an hour and a half long this year. Okay. Season 8 isn't coming back till next year, which sucks. So we have to go a full year without Game of Thrones. So I definitely wanted to mention season 7 on here now, because you're not going to hear us talk about it all this year, because there's nothing Game of Thrones, unless George R. Martin surprise drops the 5th book and I somehow read all 5 of them. There's probably no way we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones much on this podcast until next year. So I just wanted to get that out there. I know I'm probably not alone on this one. The show is a fucking smash hit at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a cultural phenomenon. I gotta get into that.
You gotta try.
The one thing,
man,
that's impressed me is like, we're gonna at the liquor store. We saw the Game of Thrones wine, and people will just see, oh, Game of Thrones has a wine. They don't even necessarily drink wine, and they'll buy it. Like I have friends who watch the show, I went over to their house, and I just saw an empty Game of Thrones bottle of wine, and I was like, who the hell's drinking wine in this house? And they were like, oh yeah, we bought it to watch Game of Thrones. I was like, that's like a $20 bottle of wine.
Yep.
Just impressive that people will just...
It's huge.
Everybody's kind of like diehard enough.
It's a
like,
cultural phenomenon.
Oh, Game of Thrones brand. Let's buy it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to get into Thrones at some point. But
I'm sure I will, and I'm sure I'll binge it and love it, but it probably won't be for a few years.
Yeah. All right, so that was my number 8. What is your 7?
I'm going to go with Trollhunters.
All right, I didn't write it down because I wrote this list up quickly last night. It slipped my mind, yeah. But yes, let's talk about it because we definitely got to talk some Trollhunters.
I love Trollhunters. I loved the first season, and I remember telling you to watch it for so long, and it took you forever to finally get.
Well, I watched it from day one. I just didn't finish it until a month ago. I watched like most of it, and then my roommates ran away with it and finished it, and so like I never got around to the back half of season 1.
It's real good. I love that show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean it's like everything I love. It's a Guillermo del Toro property. It's based on a book that he wrote, co-wrote with, I forget the guy's name. They've written a bunch of stuff together. And it stars the late Anton Yelchin, who I loved, and I like. That's another reason it's so great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
It's one of his last things he did, and he's really good voice acting. And it's just like fun, weird fantasy, sci-fi, sometimes horror-y stuff. That's,
yeah.
And it's all in an animated show, and it's just like, it's so great. You got Kelsey Grammer's Blinky. Like, there's, I don't know, it, there's so much to
Steve
love.
Steve Young as,
yes,
as Steve the Bully.
Yep. And then, yeah, they just dropped season two the weekend Star Wars came out, which was only 13 episodes instead of 26 for obvious reasons. It was all the studio recordings they had left for Anton.
Yeah.
Which was a cool thing that they got to do that and give him a little more output with that character. But yeah, the show is, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's definitely check it out. It's got the Guillermo del Toro sensibilities. It plays, does a lot of cool things with troll mythology.
Yeah, it's almost like your Gravity Falls-esque type show where it's like a, it's animation. I mean, it's put towards children kind of, but it's meant for adults because it's got that kind of plot. And
I mean, I would say it's meant for children, but it's very mature.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like it's written to just be good. It's not like, oh, we wrote this for kids. They wrote a good story.
Yeah.
And it works best in the animation realm. And it is for kids, but it's also really good storytelling that adults can really appreciate. And it's good animation.
It's just so much fun.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, if anyone watched the Globes this weekend and saw Del Toro win Best Director and give that speech about why monsters are like the greatest thing ever, then you know why Trollhunters is something great, because it comes from his mind and it's a show all about monsters. Yeah, definitely check out Trollhunters.
There's a lot of creativity in the animation with that, with all the trolls and everything and all the like people they're fighting and stuff. It's actually, it's really cool.
Yeah,
you gotta love art,
and the fight choreography is really good. It's a very well animated show, which is awesome. And we are getting part three, apparently sooner than we expected, according to Del Toro. So
if it's here by spring, that would be sweet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more Trollhunters.
Yeah, so you're up next. Let's hear what you got.
All right, let's talk briefly, because we've brought this up. I talked about this when I got it. Super Mario Odyssey. I went in on it when I first got my Switch back in November, but it fucking owns. This is one of the best games I've played in a very, very, very long time. I love it so much. It helps that it's on a console that I also now am in love with. That's new and just makes it even better and more exciting to play. But it's just, it's good to see Nintendo getting back to what they do best and really showing that they still have it. Like, I read an article recently with, it was like this, I think it was the CEO of Nintendo, or head of a program or something like that. And it was talking about the programmers they bring in for the games creators they bring in, and these people. And oftentimes he doesn't look for diehard Nintendo fans and gamers and his developers. He actually said, like, some of the developers on like Mario and Zelda and these new Switch games don't even game.
Interesting.
Like, he's bring, because he, it's, it was a really interesting article about how he wants new, like, he doesn't want to just bring in, like, yeah, there are developers there who are in the game world, but he doesn't just want a bunch of video game nerds making the video games, because that's when you get into the repetition cycle where it's everyone just like making a new polished version of the thing they already love and that came before.
Especially if it's the people, if you're just using the same people over and over from every single Mario game, or like every, like the Nintendo group, like it's the same people,
but not
it's
even
the same game over and over.
Yeah, but even if you just have a whole team of diehard Nintendo lovers who spent their whole life playing Mario and Zelda, those people are like, that's only going to give you, it's basically going to give you like a fan service game.
Yep.
It's gonna be like, this is what, where it's like when you bring in these people who are outside of that world, it's the same for any sort of creative endeavor like this. It's the same with movies, music, and times as well. Like, yeah, you want people there who know the industry inside and out and know this art inside and out. But when you bring an outside perspective and these different ideas, there's people who be like, because someone will come up with an idea and a bunch of people who've played games their whole life and have been developing will go, oh, you can't do that. Even though you can, and those are the ideas that developers who aren't tied into this world 100% will like take risks and do weirder shit. So I love just seeing what Nintendo does. It definitely shows in what they've put out this year. Mario Odyssey is so fun. It's such a smooth game. It I didn't have a bad second in it. There wasn't a single thing I didn't love about playing that game, and I'm still not even totally done with it. I got to finish the Dark Sides of the Moon, but it's really great.
Yeah, I know you've put in your fair share of hours that game.
So definitely, I'm sure that's on a lot of people's lists if they have a Switch and pick that up this year, because it seems that anyone who plays Mario loves Mario. Yeah. You just have to have it and play it in order to be one of those people. But I haven't seen anything really bad about it, so.
Yeah, no, everything you're saying is pushing me closer and closer to buying a Switch, so. I'm sure it'll take me maybe one more game like this to come out, then I'll just be like, screw it, I'm going out and buying a Switch.
All right, give me your number six.
All right, so I'm going to go with Last Man on Earth.
All right, another thing I got to catch up on.
This new season's been a lot of fun, this 2017 season. I've had a good time with it. There's just been a lot of funny jokes. Like, they're having a lot of fun. They found there's a new character in it who's just great, and they're all trying to, like, bond with him. And it's just really funny, and I love the interaction between everyone. And they throw in, like, a pretty big star, like, one every season, and then they just disappear. But it's really fun. I have a good time with it.
I got to catch up. I loved season one when it aired. It was one of my favorite new shows that year. And it just came the next season, and I guess I just had too much on my plate, and I never went into it. So I have yet to watch since season one, but I'm going to do a binge on that soon.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend and I will watch it. She never waits for me anymore. She'll just go through and watch it. So then I'll be like, all right, you're over. We're going to watch the episode. And she's like, I already watched it. And it's like, so what? This is what you get. But it's a lot of fun. I always enjoy popping it on whenever there's a new episode. It's real entertaining, and I don't know, I just love those like post-apocalyptic shows and movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So this really plays to my preferences.
Yeah. I definitely gotta check that out and catch up, because
it's a lot of fun.
Big fan of season one, so that'll be coming soon for me as well. I gotta get caught up on that. Okay, so my number seven. What do we want to do here? All right, I'm gonna bring this up because we had a hell of a time this summer with this. I'm gonna give a nice shout out to Pokemon Go.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I think at this point now, 2 years into the game, I've settled on Pokemon Go being a fun summer game for me to play.
It is.
I may not touch it come fall and winter because I mean, we live in Buffalo and it's not an easy game to play once the weather turns.
Yeah.
But you got me back into it like late spring, early summer. It was I'd say early summer because it was when the legendary birds came around.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what I wanted to shout out this year is I thought the way they did the legendary birds this summer was a ton of fun.
The raids were
a lot of fun. It got us out all summer. We'd go out, walk around UB, hit raids.
There'd be like 15 people walking around on every given day. Like, you were going there at like 3 o'clock. There's like 15 people there to play Pokemon. It's great.
Shout out to that Maltrace we never got. but we did both get Articuno and Zapdos, so that's fun. I think it's cool to see that that game has settled into its daily active users, and they've got like a steady fan base that's pretty active in the game.
Yeah.
And what, they just released Gen 3 into the game, right?
Yeah, they're doing like a slow rollout of this. Yeah. I haven't necessarily played, but I've like kept up with the news and stuff that's coming out with it. I think they released like 50 new Pokemon on Halloween.
Nice.
And I think they released like probably 5 more or something pretty recently in December. I think there's still more coming because obviously there's not just 55 new Pokemon in Generation 3. So they're doing that. They had like Ho-Oh in a raid. They got whole new raids out there. So I'm sure once that's summer cool. hits, you and I will pop back around and catch a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, really, and like, fun. Well, and because it kind of is like a perfect summer thing that gets capped off by our trip to Fan Expo now, because we got the Go Pluses this year.
Yeah.
And we just walked around Fan Expo in Toronto all day just clicking that thing. And we got, I think I got like 200,000 experience that day or something like that.
it was a ridiculous. Lot of fun.
I don't know. I had to give a shout out to Pokemon Go. We had so much fun with it this summer.
Yeah,
I have
a feeling
we probably will again this upcoming summer.
Great,
good weather game to play.
It's nice to get you outside.
Yeah.
Because there's not as many sports we can play nowadays. Exactly. So this is a nice way to get us outdoors and moving. And it's a lot of fun because it's Pokemon and we're big nerds. So it's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, give me your number five.
Number five. Let's go with, I'm going to throw out, just because this has swallowed up so much of my time recently, Fortnite Battle Royale.
Oh, nice.
Those Battle Royale games have been huge recently with PUBG and H1Z1 King of the Kill. And then Fortnite through their console, they were like the first console Battle Royale game. And I had downloaded Fortnite originally because I had seen it was like a zombie, like almost like your Nazi zombie game but you build your base. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool aspect because I always loved the Nazi zombies on Call of Duty. I like the original Nazi zombies. So I was like, screw it, let's give this a shot. And I downloaded it initially and I found out that, yeah, it was a free download, but you had to pay for like a pass to get it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is dumb. So I didn't play it. And then 2 weeks later, I found out, oh, they have a free game on there. It's called Battle Royale. And I was like, oh, shit. So I hopped on that, me and a few friends, and we started playing it. Freaking loved it. Within three games, I was hooked. Because we have won the third game, and I had the final kill. My freaking, my heart was pumping. My freaking endorphins were running. I was just having so much fun with it. I love that game. Every time I'm in the top five, I'm just like shaking. My heart's racing. I love it. It's so much fun. It gets your heart pumping, your blood boiling. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've only played a little bit of Fortnite so far, but it is very fun. I can't wait to do more of it.
I'll come home every night from work, and I'll be like, all right, who's on? Who's rolling with me right now? And we just go on and play for like 3 hours.
It's a good game. It's a lot of fun. It's basically a Hunger Games video game. So
exactly. That's great.
Yeah, it's a good time. I got to play more of it. I have not put nearly as much time as you have into
it. Oh, no, I'm sure. These are the times when I wish we were on the same console because it would just be so much fun.
Yeah. For sure, it is a good game, and it's added bonus that it's free, so definitely check out that if you haven't yet.
Oh yeah.
All right, my number five, let's do, getting close to the big ones here, Stranger Things 2.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
And we talked about this a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to say much. I'll just say Dustin and Steve. Come on, guys. Like, that's my favorite buddy duo of the year. It's just so great.
I've seen interviews online with the two of them, and it's just so funny. They're so great together. Even, like, off air, they're just so funny, and so they joke around with each other so much. It's great. I love it. I love everything they have, like they're saying. They're so funny.
Those kids are great. You can hear me say similar things about It on the other podcast. I'm not going to bring it up here today, but I am in love with It as well, which shares, obviously, Wolfhard in both casts.
Yeah.
But, obviously, Stranger Things is pulling a lot from its story and lore and tone, clearly, with kids on bikes in the 80s, et cetera, et cetera. But, yep. Season 2 is great. They nailed it. It's one of those things where they struck gold. Like, the kid who plays Will ended up being a really, really good actor and crushes at this scene because he only had, like, two or three episodes in the first season where he barely had anything to do, and it wasn't that much. Like, he's the kid who got kidnapped.
I think he only had two scenes with the other characters.
And he's maybe – it's probably him and Dustin have the most to do this season.
Yeah.
On screen as far as the kids go. Like the new characters they introduced, obviously Hopper rules. Like, it's just, it brought back everything you love. And then, like I said, it's they made me love, like, one of my least favorite characters from last season.
Yeah.
So.
And Lucas got kind of an expanded role in this, which is always fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure all of you have watched Stranger Things 2 by now, and we have already talked about it. So, yep. Just had to give a nice little shout out to that there. What's your number four?
Let's throw out, I'm just going to say, this is kind of, this is like a mashup, The Disaster Artist and the kind of The Room revival, because this is the first time we watched The Room was this year, and had a great showing with that. Obviously, we already talked about this on the most recent episode, but it was just a lot of fun, and it was nice to have that kind of pleasant surprise where it was something we had really didn't know like a whole lot about. We had never seen it. And it was just great to finally sit down and watch it and then go, what was it, like a week or two later and go see the kind of behind the scenes almost.
Yeah, I don't even think it was a week later. It was that weekend. That was a great experience for us. Like, all of us watching The Room, having a blast, laughing at that hot mess.
Yeah, it's just so much fun.
And then going and seeing The Disaster Artist, which is a great movie. which I'm pretty sure we talked about maybe in the last episode. I think it was the last episode.
I think so.
No, that was great. Super excited to see Disaster Artist potentially winning things and just getting recognition, because it's a movie that wouldn't get that type of recognition.
Yeah.
And then The Room is just batshit crazy, and we had a lot of fun making fun of and laughing at that. So that was a fun experience for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed to see the Disaster Artist didn't make as big a splash as I thought. I thought it would make a little more money. It's just coming up on $20 million. But I don't know. It seemed that it came, the initial fans went, saw it, and then it just kind of, also came out in the beginning of December when Star Wars was about to hit. Yes. Thor, Coco, just like, there was so much out or coming out that definitely kind of got lost in the shuffle there. But it is a great movie, a very fun movie. And then if you haven't seen The Room, get some people together, have some drinks, and have a blast.
That's the best
way
to watch it, is with other people. If you watch that movie alone, you're going to just be kind of weirded out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And maybe even inclined to turn it off after the first 20 minutes.
Probably. Okay, so my number four. Jeez, I got four left. Let's see.
All right.
I got to pick what four I want to pick. All right, let's start with Star Wars The Last Jedi.
All right. Nice.
It's and like, I'm bringing this up because even though it didn't, it was like number 9 on my top 20 or something like that. So it's obviously, it's not my favorite movie of the year. There's more than a handful above it.
It's a nice
movie. But it's because we grew up on Star Wars. Star Wars is life. Like, yep. You know, it's one of those things. So it's just, it's a huge thing when even though we're now getting them every year, it's still this huge thing when each one comes out. And realizing what it means to this universe that you've loved for so long, and why The Last Jedi stands out among Rogue One or The Force Awakens, is because it, for the first time, actually makes big implications of what is going to happen with Star Wars in the future. It is the Star Wars movie for our generation. It is the Star Wars movie that says, this is yours now. We get to make this something new and different, but also the same and great thing that you've always loved. But now we're going to expand it, make it more inclusive, and just overall better. And I couldn't love the movie more. Screw the stupid backlash, just a bunch of snotty fans. Yeah. In a few years, most of them will come around and like the movie after seeing it more. The ones who don't, good riddance, we don't need you anyways.
Star Wars will make enough money without those few people.
It's number one at the box office for 2017 domestically, and it was in theaters for 3 weeks before the end of the year.
Of course.
And it made the most money at the domestic box office in 2017. So, yeah, it's Star Wars. They're never going to kill it. And this just added fans. So, like, it did exactly what they wanted it to do. It brought in a whole new crop of fans. Yeah, it pissed off some fans, but they're going to be at the next movie regardless anyway, so who cares? This is the route that this franchise needed to go. It opens up. It's by far the best looking Star Wars movie ever made. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Like, just to look at.
Yeah,
you could watch this with the sound off, and for the most part, just love every frame of it. It's great.
It is a very good looking movie. That Casino Planet's a lot of fun.
Yes, Canto Bite.
The Salt Planet. It's just a lot. Great. Everything's great. I love the new planets they throw in there. It's nice to see that they're throwing their own creativity and they're changing up your basic Star Wars frame that they had before, where it was like, oh, there's only so many things that were happening before, and they kind of followed that in The Force Awakens. But it was like, oh, Star Wars, we love this.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's great to kind of get a new look on things and definitely a look ahead at what's to come, because we're all excited for a whole new trilogy from Rian Johnson, I'm sure.
Hell yeah, dude. Bring on the new generation of Star Wars. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but The Han Solo story, that's Lando Calrissian is Childish Gambino, right?
It's Donald Glover. Donald Glover. Yes, it is.
So that's pretty cool.
I think at this point, everyone's talked about Star Wars enough. I myself am on a 3-hour podcast talking about Star Wars.
Yep.
We can't say much that hasn't already been said, but we definitely wanted to show some love for it here because we are huge Star Wars fans, and we kind of missed our chance to get a review out there. Because we were too busy.
Yeah.
But Star Wars owns. Can't wait to see the future. This makes me so excited for what's coming after Episode 9, especially.
All right, so I'll throw out my next one since that was yours.
Number three, what do you got?
This would be my number one, but I'm just going to throw it out because we've already talked about it. That is Mayhem.
Oh, nice.
I absolutely love this movie. It was so much fun. I love those action movies. Like, obviously, I love The Raid. Me and you once saw The Redemption in theaters. These movies are so much fun where it's just murder, 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 beat the shit out of everybody. It's great. And Steven Yeun just showed his charisma and how amazing he is in this lead role. And it was just so much fun to watch. It was because it was something I didn't know anything about. And you were like, oh, Mayhem. You rented it, blah, blah, blah. You should check it out. So I watched it and loved it. Yep. It was so much fun. I love those climbing to the top of the building, beating the shit out of everybody. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it
so much. It's newest film from Joe Lynch, who, if you guys haven't seen his other stuff, like Everly, especially Everly, if you want a flavor of what you're going to get with Mayhem, because Everly is his first like action movie, and you get a taste for his style.
Okay.
But man, this movie is just, I think it was number 12 in my top 20. I love it so much. It's absolute blast. And it's one of those movies because there's like, when you get this in the talk about like violence in movies and what's the type, like when it's like, oh, okay to enjoy violence in movies and when it's supposed to be like pain, blah, yada, yada. Mayhem just like avoids any type of that in like the best way these movies do is where he gives you a scenario where the violence is going to happen. Nobody can stop the violence because everybody wants the violence because it's the rage virus.
Yep.
So you can just sit there, sit back and enjoy it. Like know that these people aren't like, there's no like innocent people who don't want to be attacked.
Everybody's attacking everyone.
So you get what you get. Like,
yep.
And so it's just one of those movies. And he has this great way of shooting action where it's real frenetic, high energy. And so you have a blast. You're supposed to be having fun watching his movies. You're not supposed to be like, ooh, am I supposed to like enjoy that? No, you're supposed to enjoy every second of violence and comedy and whatever in his movies, especially in this one. And as you mentioned, Steve Yeun rules.
Yep.
Yeah, Mayhem fucking rocks, and more people should
see it. I loved that movie so much. It was my favorite surprise of 2017 by far.
Yeah, Mayhem rules. All right, so my number three, we will go with... Future Man.
Nice.
I was
debating
how high I wanted to put it.
I don't know why, but I couldn't even. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Again, I'm pretty sure we talked about this after we watched it in one of our early episodes.
Because we loved it.
So good. Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg produced show dealing with. So I recently found out Seth Rogen had always wanted to remake The Last Starfighter, which is a movie that we love. And had tried to option for the rights a couple times because he had an idea. Can never make him. Apparently, the guy who owns the rights to Last Starfighter is dead set he's going to make a sequel with the original cast, so he won't let anyone remake it. So Seth Rogen just went on and made Future Man. And that's where this is like born from, his desire to make a Last Starfighter movie. And then he ended up just like mashing up all of his other favorite sci-fi tropes and then adding in his own level of uniqueness and this like making it this different thing that, yeah, it has all of the bones of the things we love, but it does so much that we've never seen. And it's just drop dead funny. I mean, this is one of the hardest I've laughed all year at this show.
It was real funny.
We talked, I think, a pretty good amount about it in the episode we brought it up, but, yeah, it's a Hulu original series. Josh Hutcherson stars. He's fucking great. And it's just an absolute blast.
Yeah, get out there and watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, and laugh and have a great time. Because Future Man rules and is definitely, without a doubt, my favorite new show of 2017. Yeah. American Vandal was close. But no, this is, to me, the best new show that came out.
It played
year.
To what we like, too.
Yes.
That video game sci-fi aspect. It was just so much fun. So that was right up our alley immediately.
all right, what do you got for number two? Let's get into our last picks.
So I'm going to throw out another great surprise, kind of, the Big Sick.
All right.
Loved it. I love me some Kumail Nanjiani.
Happy you brought this up
because
now I don't have to.
It was so much fun. I loved it. I loved everything.
We saw it together,
it.
Right?
Yep.
You saw it with your girlfriend first, and then I saw it with you. But
yeah, because I was like, oh, I want to see this real bad, and I was like, oh, it's like a romantic comedy. So I pulled out my girlfriend to go see it. And then I think we saw it at the Dipson before it was a wide release. and I loved it. So then I was just talking it up to you, and then once
I had been excited for this movie since Sundance when it premiered, and I found out about it.
Once it, I think we saw it at AMC or Regal or something like that. Once it got a wider release, but yeah, that movie was a blast. I loved it.
My number one movie of the year. I love every second of it. I adore it. And in the end, it's just, it feels so good to see a great movie made by great people who now get to do great things.
Yeah, I would love to see them be able to get more.
Oh, they're going to. I mean, Kumail's already signing movie deals left and right.
He's, yeah, that's fantastic. Oh yeah,
he's getting cast in a bunch. He's. I mean, he got to host SNL. Like, good things are happening for these people. And that's just awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear about it come awards because it's definitely going to win some stuff.
Yeah, there's great stuff. Ray Romano, obviously. Was it Holly Hunter? I always forget.
Yep, Holly Hunter.
She was fantastic.
So good. She's going to get Best Supporting Actress nomination for sure.
It was just so much fun.
Yep, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah. So let's hear what you got for your number two.
All right. No. We'll do the TV show then the movie because the movie it's hard not to. We'll just talk about because I didn't put it as number one in my top 20, so I'll put it at number one in my top 10 entertainment list. But number two, season 3 Rick and Morty.
Very nice. I figured you were gonna have that on your list, so I had it just in case in my my mentions.
Basically, a flawless victory at this point for them. Like they took a year to write the show, most of another year to animate it, and it all paid off. Every episode this season, for the most part, there was only a few where I was like, that was really, but for the most part, every week I'd be like, wait, is that my new favorite episode of Rick and Morty ever now? Like they did the April Fool's, drop, which was, and I remember we literally watched that episode on loop all night until they took the live stream down.
Yeah. That's and fantastic.
By the end of it, I was like, that is legitimately top three best episode I've ever seen. And then, like, six more times that season, I was like, wait, that's one of the best episodes I've ever seen. They fucking brought it this year.
They did.
And then outside of the great storytelling, the animation this year was insane. The Pickle Rick episode is nuts.
Yep.
Just on an animation level, it's amazing. You don't see animation like that in TV. No. That's one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough with Rick and Morty, is how... And that's why another reason why it takes so long to get made is because they have to take almost a year just to animate what they write. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
The animation is so good in this show, and this season was just, it was so good.
It was fantastic. I loved everything about it.
Tales from the Citadel
was
one of the best episodes of television I've ever watched. Same with Pickle Rick. Like, they were just crushing it on every level this year. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
It's great. If you haven't watched any of Rick and Morty yet, you're a madman. Go watch it all. Season 3, find it. Hopefully the Blu-ray will be out soon. They're saying... we won't see it till late 2019, to which I said, duh.
Yeah.
If there was one thing I knew at the end of this season was it was going to be at least a year and a half till we saw it again, but probably longer.
Yep.
Adult Swim will not rush them. They're not even working on it right now, apparently. They're not even writing yet. Since the end of season 3, they've just been chilling. Nobody's doing anything because Adult Swim won't hound them, so they're not going to be like, oh, work on this. And if they're not, so if they're just like kind of chilling and drinking in the success, there's literally no one to be like, you need to do this. Because Adult Swim will just be like, that's what they did with Venture Brothers. They let Venture Brothers take like 3 years off and then come back for two seasons in like quick succession. Adult Swim doesn't care. They just want content to play that's good.
Yeah. I mean, they're fantastic episodes, every single one this season. And I guarantee you the next season will be nothing but the same.
Yeah,
if they take their time and they put their heart and soul in it like they did with this one. We're going to love it.
It's some of the best. It might be the best science fiction of our generation. I don't know. It's fucking great. And then it's also so damn funny.
Yeah. Every character is great. They made Summer fantastic.
Everyone rules.
With what is it? Like the Mad Max episode?
Yeah. And there's a lot of good stuff with Beth this season. Beth is a big character in season 3. She is probably one of the bigger arcs. It's a lot about her and Rick's relationship this year.
A little less of Jerry this season. But it was all right because they expanded the other
characters.
And
we saw that coming at the end of season 2. Yeah. Anyways, they already had set up that Jerry was not going to be as big a part of the upcoming season. Rick and Morty, the best. I mean, we could talk about Rick and Morty for hours, so we'll move on. And let's finish this out. What do you have for number one?
Just because I know what movie's going to be at your number one, I'm going to throw this movie out as my number one, and that would be Baby Driver.
Okay.
Absolutely love it. I love every single Edgar Wright movie. They're so, so great. This movie, I mean, the opening car chase scene is one of the best I've ever seen. I put it on the one day.
It's just all practical.
Just to show my friends.
It's all done real time.
Oh, yeah, which
that
is incredible.
That whole 180 thing?
Yeah, that's around the
truck. It's a real stunt
driver.
Yeah, that's not green screen.
Oh, yeah. but the one that I had my buddies over to play poker, and I was like, all right, before everyone gets here, I was like, I'm just going to show you guys this. And I put on the first 15 minutes, and they were like, holy shit. I was like, this is – I told them, I was like, this is real. Somebody in real life did this. And I don't know. It just blows my mind every time I watch it. I love the movie. There's another one I got to see with my girlfriend, and she loved it too. So that just made it even better. It's just so much fun. I love Ansel Elgort. He was fantastic. And it's nice because Kevin Spacey's the dick who you hate in this movie. So that's always great. That's a good topper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I fucking love this movie.
Yeah,
everything they
do. Edgar Wright can do no wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I've sung this praises on enough podcasts this year that I don't need to go in on it again. Just know that I also love this movie as well, basically from top to bottom. I've watched it a bunch of times already. Rewatchability on it is insane.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright, that guy knows how to make a good movie, man.
Damn right.
All right. So, yeah, like you pretty much guessed what I'm going to talk about. And really, because you brought up Big Sick. I'm going to talk about this movie, and there was one other movie that was in my top three, and it's Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, which I could easily talk about here as well.
Yeah.
But I won't, because the movie I'm going to talk about instead is just, it is like a moment in time cultural impact filmed as well, like added on top of being basically a flawless motion picture, and it is the directorial debut of Jordan Peele, and that is Get Out.
Yeah.
To me, like I said, Big Sick is my number one favorite movie of the year. I think Get Out is the best movie of the year all around, just like in how well it's made and like its stance in society. Like it's kind of this like landmark movie that will forever be, to me, it is the defining movie of 2017. If there's one movie that came out this year that captures a moment in time,
absolutely,
it's Get Out. Yeah. I mean, movie made for $5 million, grossed almost $200 million in the United States.
Yeah.
Insane.
I love Jordan Peele. Good for him.
Love to see him make the turn. And the movie's just, I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing? Aside from being a brilliant horror movie, it's also one of the best social satires I've ever seen in my entire life. It does things in ways that I've never seen someone like deal with race relations before. Like, the auction scene. Things like that.
Yeah.
And like the conversations leading up to that, like it seemed like it was so obvious to do it, but no one had ever thought of it. Like, oh my God, like this is such a perfect way to frame these conversations and these things that like make it so nobody cannot, like, it's impossible to walk away from Get Out and be like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand what he's talking about. No,
yeah.
Like, he puts it right there in front of you. It's like, oh my God, I've been in this situation. I've watched these conversations happen.
I see. This movie made me real uneasy just because, like, there's a lot of that real aspect where it's
coming from white suburbia, there's a lot of familiarity.
Yeah, and it made me very uneasy, which is why I had Split on my list and not Get Out, because, I don't know, Get Out was a fantastic movie, but it just makes me uneasy. And
how many times have you seen it?
I only saw it once.
Watch it again.
All right.
It's a different movie the second time.
Okay.
Because the first time, it's all the social thriller. Because that's what's there in your face. And you're like, this is just uncomfortable. Because obviously our social politics currently.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a sense of hint of familiarity there because we live in kind of a community like that at times. Watch it a second time because it's a different movie. When you watch it the second time, you get to watch it as the horror sci-fi movie because you know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it changes performances and it changes scenes because now that you know what's happening, you're watching the scene from a whole new angle and it makes it so fascinating. God, this movie's incredible. I've listened to Jordan Peele talk about it a bunch. I've already watched it 4 or 5 times. Every scene is paying a homage to some classic horror movie. The introduction, when they first show up at her parents' house, it's literally he's doing his version of The Shining where they introduced the Overlook Hotel. The opening scene is an ode to Halloween. Like, everything is shot in ways that he's just, like, pulling from his favorites but also expanding on them and making them his own. And for a guy who had never stepped behind the camera
before
to make a movie, I mean, this is – I've said he's operating on a level that some filmmakers have been doing this for 30 years, couldn't even fathom.
No, definitely not.
The guy understands film language. That opening one shot – it's just a one take. It's Lakeith Stanfield walking up the street, and it follows him, camera on his face, car comes by, stops, And, you know, the whole scene, he goes across the street and the camera follows him across the street while also doing a 180 turn. All in one take, no breaks.
Yeah.
180 turn to keep Caleb Landry Jones out of the camera until the exact moment he wants him to be in the camera, which is when he's almost across the street and then he pops out from behind the tree, grabs him, throws him in the trunk, drives away. All one take, camera never breaks, holds on it the entire time. And I remember seeing the movie the first time in February and at the end of that shot, literally thinking to myself, holy shit, that is one of the best shots I've seen in a movie in the last decade, and it's a guy who's never directed a movie before. I cannot wait for the next 90 minutes of this movie. It's going to be incredible. And he did not disappoint at all.
Oh, no.
Flawless filmmaking.
Yeah, it's impressive to see, I mean, him, they were basically just doing skit comedy, him and Jordan, or Keegan-Michael Key, and he comes in to do his first film, and it's beautifully shot. The story's fantastic. I mean, everything in that movie was great. There's even some nice humor in there. It's perfect. It's all you could ever want out of a horror movie.
So good. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And, yeah, it should definitely be getting some love come Oscars. It, to me, is hands down best picture winner this year. Jordan Peele should get best director and best original screenplay. I just don't think anyone's touched the work he did.
I don't think.
Also, because like this script, like, and I've heard him talk about, this is something he's been working on for so long. It is such a polished script. Like, you can't tell me any of the original screenplays from this year are better than that.
I don't think
Get
so.
Out fucking rules. 2017, man. Good year of entertainment.
Fantastic.
We had a lot of fun.
Is there any like honorable mentions you got?
I got, like, what else is that? I don't think so. 311's new album, Mosaic, was really good. That was basically my soundtrack of my summer. Outside of that, the only other thing I didn't mention from my list, because either you brought it up or not, was, isn't even in, like, a pop culture. It was just getting into vinyl. I started that back in, like, beginning of spring, and that's been a fun thing now to get into. But, there's lots of...
Yeah.
Movies. And then, like, things we've already talked about, like, on the show. Thor, Destiny 2, my SNES classic, things like that. But I didn't want to just, like, regurgitate all the shit that we've talked about. Yeah, new Thor. Like, yeah, I have a whole bunch of movies. I have a top 20 movies and then about 25 after that I also really liked. Yeah. That couldn't make it. It was a great year for movies and entertainment.
I really like Kong Skull Island this year. Kong that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, if we're talking music. I don't know why I didn't even think of music, but Lord.
Melodrama, duh.
That was rocks. Huge for me just because I saw her live in concert this summer. So that was like a weekend thing where it was just fucking fantastic. It was a great weekend, even though it was a music festival and it rained almost probably 75% of the day, but it was so fun. Had a blast doing that. It was a nice trip up to Montreal.
Oh, yeah, I got one more little music thing also. Melodrama was fucking great. Yeah. I've been listening to a lot recently. Hamilton mixtape came out this year. I forgot about that. I forgot that that was this year.
It's just so long ago.
Yeah. I think it was this year.
Was either this year or it was December.
Or it was late last year. I can't remember. I bought the vinyl this year, so now I'm like getting my timeline. But anyways, Hamilton mixtape rules because Hamilton rules. And that should be in Buffalo within the next year and a half. So
yeah, that's real cool.
I'm definitely excited to see some Hamilton.
All right. But before we close out, I want to see what you have to say. Your most anticipated thing for 2018. What do you got?
Most anticipated thing? Like anything?
Like video game, movie, TV show.
Holy shit. God, music. There's a lot coming in 2018.
I don't even care.
All right. There's a lot coming in 2018. Yep. So I don't want to hear the flack from anyone of what I'm
just
leaving
one
out.
Thing.
No, because I have a specific reason why, to me, this is the most anticipated, and it sucks because it's not coming till December. It's the animated Spider-Man Miles Morales movie.
Oh, very nice.
One, they've already dropped the trailer. It looks dope.
Spider-Verse.
The animation is so cool. It's like a comic panel. You have the little dots and everything.
It's awesome.
I've been saying that they need to get into since well before The Incredibles, DC Animated has been doing it. They need to make feature animated superhero movies. You can do so much, and it's just like, this looks like it could finally be one of those watershed moments. Because we also are getting Incredibles 2 this year. But this is the animated superhero movie I'm more excited about.
No, it looks
Because add
sweet.
All that, on top of all that, is Miles Morales. It's the Black Spider-Man. But yeah, but it's Miles Morales with all that added on top of it. Yeah, we're going to have multiple Spider-Man. But we get Miles Morales' Spider-Man, I'm so excited for that. I just think, to me, it's like one of those things. It's my thing to watch in 2018 because... To me, it's the most potential game changer for the movie industry.
All right. Yeah. That, all right. I mean, it looks like a blast.
What do you got? What's yours?
I mean, mine, just because we absolutely love this book, and that would be Ready Player One.
RP1.
I am just so excited. That first trailer that dropped, and one of the first things you see is the Iron Giant. It just got me so goddamn excited. You see the fucking, I'm drawing a freaking blank.
What, DeLorean?
The DeLorean, Jesus Christ.
You see a bunch of stuff. Yeah. I'm pretty sure in the second trailer, there's a whole bunch more cars there.
There's
from Knight Rider, a bunch of stuff like that. I think Mad Max's car is in there. I know this is an easy
movie. Three of my friends to read Ready Player One just because they saw the trailer and they were like, what is this? I was like, oh, it's the best book ever.
Yeah, I'm excited. It should be a lot of fun.
That's
in March. Or is it May? Might have been pushed. I think it might be May now. I can't remember.
Excited.
Yeah. It's a two Spielberg year, man. Can't get me down. I get to go see The Post this weekend and Ready Player One later this year. I'm all about my Spielberg. So
it's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, that should be cool. I'm really excited about that. It looks pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite book of all time. So I'm just super excited to finally see this adapted into a movie.
Yeah.
Just because reading the book, you can picture literally everything, and you can it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
So that's one I'm real excited for.
Awesome. All right. Let's close up this episode because I got to get ready to go to work. And I will give us what our topic is going to be.
Right.
We're going to try and record it pretty quickly and get it up this upcoming week. We'll see what happens. But it should work out because the thing I'm picking should be pretty easy for us to watch and talk about. And that is a... This is definitely one of those movies from our childhood that you have to have grown up with to probably have any affection for. But I know that our generation definitely does have affection for it. It may be 50 degrees today, but it was just in the teens and is going right back to the teens this weekend. So the movie we are going to talk about in the next episode of Tales from the Bunk Bed is the Nickelodeon 2000 movie Snow Day.
Yes, fantastic. Yes. Oh,
favorite
so
of ours and our fathers.
Yep.
We will be talking about Snow Day, the Chevy Chase Nickelodeon movie. Yeah. We're not going to, I don't want to spoil too much because we'll definitely have a lot to say, but we love this movie.
So excited.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun with Snow Day. So I thought about this like a few days ago and I was like, ooh, that is perfect. We got to talk about Snow Day.
Yeah, that's a good one to go with.
It was on Netflix. I don't know if it is anymore, but I know our dad has a burned copy we can check out. I may just buy it off Amazon real quick anyways because I should own that movie. But if you haven't seen Snow Day, find a way to track it down and watch it because you'll enjoy it. It's barely a 90-minute movie and it's a ton of fun.
I'm super excited for this one.
Yeah. That'll be our next episode, and you will get to choose at the end of that one what'll be our next topic.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Tales from the Bunk Bed. This was a fun little 2017 recap, and we're excited to get back to the regular show. I'm Zach.
I'm Lucas.
And we will talk to you guys next time.